Hello,
Hello, good morning.
good morning. Happy Toolbox Tuesday. We are getting ready to rock and roll here. Just give everybody a second to get on. All right, are we ready to go?
Let's get started.
All right. Happy Toolbox Tuesday, everybody. If you have not been with us before for Toolbox Tuesday, that is our day that we are reviewing with our team and our practices a tool and a resource that they have to take out of their toolbox. Keep everybody on top of all the resources that are available. So today we are talking about treatment presentations.
A pretty important topic.
Yes, they are indeed. I'm guessing that everybody has had at least one or two, hopefully, that you've already done in your practices this morning. So get into it here. So, what prompted us to really start developing scripting around our treatment presentations? What were some of the pain points that you saw, Sten, from a doctor perspective when it came to treatment presentations?
They didn't translate into scheduling. It's probably the biggest one, obviously. It's the whole reason we do them in the first place. But really what we kind of saw was it being inconsistent. And it kind of gets back to it. And yes, I know, Jennifer, you mentioned scripting, but that's a pretty minor part of it, I think, in the grand scheme of things. And I think, we have scriptings, we have sound offs, which I think you guys have heard, but if it sounds robotic, it doesn't work, right? I know this is a little bit of a tangent to the topic we're talking about right now, but everything we do in our practice, a script, when we say script, it's more of a template and kind of how to talk, right?
How to
And
respond to something.
yes, we do have some things we want people to say verbatim, like some of our post-op instructions, some of our, way we kind of, we'll talk about kind of the way we present certain fees, things like that, but they're within it. It's not like the entire conversation or the entire presentation is 100% scripted. It's more of a template and making sure that that template is followed time and time again, to the point where it can be repeated and it can be practiced, and it can be improved on. And it was a little bit of a tangent, but kind of getting back to some of the problems we saw, yes, it was the scheduling, the inconsistency translated into inconsistent scheduling. And it also translated into me personally only wanting one person or two people to do my treatment plans for me, which a lot of times was you, Jennifer, back when we used to work, back when we used to work a lot together. But it what the reason I did that is because that's what gave me the best results. That's what got me the biggest cases on the schedule for me. What I didn't realize until we started getting into this, or I started to overhear a lot of these things, is how I always tried to make sure things were duplicated, repeated, practiced, and I can improve on them over and over and over again. The people that I saw have the best results with the treatment plan, including Jennifer, especially Jennifer, did the exact same thing. If I would, if Jennifer would have walked into a room 5 minutes into my exam, she knew exactly where in that system I was. Same thing with her treatment plan. If I walked in a room or I walked by a room and overheard something, I knew exactly at what stage of that treatment plan she was. And that was something that we saw over and over and over again. And so developing a system around getting those repeatable processes in the treatment plan, not just in our clinical, but also in our conversations with patients and our treatment plans with patients was a big one. So,
I
yeah.
think the term scripting in of itself, people shy away from, and if you've been with us for a while now, we talk about the things people don't want to talk about, right? And it's really is that system that Sten was mentioning and having structure around it, because we assume that all of our front office will be amazing at presenting a treatment plan. And that also leads to the assumption that if they didn't schedule, it's their fault,
Right.
and that it's not the doctor contributing to that, or the fact that they didn't know all of the things that are in your head that aren't on paper of what it is that you're expecting them to do. We talk about time and time again too, that frustrations most of the time are because expectations have not been met on one side or the other. If you aren't giving them the resources and the tools of how you want them to present a treatment plan, look at how many people have never done that before. They're not comfortable talking about finances. They don't want to be the one to tell the patient, you have 20 decayed teeth in your head, but that's what we're here for. So we have to break down some of those barriers to make that process go a lot more smoothly.
Yeah. And I think that's such a good point about the unmet needs, because I think that's where so many frustrations happen in every parts of our lives, but especially we're kind of honing in on obviously the day-to-day flow of the dental practice. But your treatment presenter, whether it's your front office, whether it's your back office, whether it's a rover, whether it's a specific treatment presenter role, they might know that they're supposed to schedule. They might have even have metrics around it. But a lot of times what we've seen in a lot of the practice we've either kind of acquired or we've worked with in some of our private clients is that they know their metrics, they know the results that they're supposed to achieve, but the how is kind of up to them. And it gets very stressful for a person because right. sometimes, and there's different changes in economies, in marketing, in just different times of the year where the acceptance rate can really fluctuate quite dramatically. Right. And it might not be that person's fault at all.
Right.
A lot of times it is. And so what happens right. is a lot of times we get into everyone does this, but especially people we're talking to right now about people that are presenting treatment plans. They start to do things robotically and it works really well. And then all of a sudden it doesn't. Right. And they don't know why.
Right.
And it takes that person outside looking in sometimes to kind of give them that insight as to why things are working or what they think might work and what might not work. It's the whole, you know, adage, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And right. I think that's really, really important. So we don't know, you know, as doctors, we don't know how to give feedback to our treatment presenters, and our team doesn't know how to give feedback to our doctors. We're at a little bit of an impasse here because we don't know where to go for improvement.
Right. And those are all some of the pain points that we were trying to solve with this. You know, we talked about last week, if you're with us or you can watch the replay, with financial policies. There are the financial policies we thought we had, and then there were the financial policies that were actually being executed. And it's very similar when it comes to treatment presentations. So we found both in our practices and acquisitions that we went into that we were being handcuffed by the one person who right. only one person could present a treatment plan. What happens when that one person goes to the bathroom? And you think that I'm joking, but there was more than one time where I had someone literally slip me a post-it note under the door while I was in the bathroom. Do you want me to respond to that right now? Let me just pull that pen out of my pocket, right? That's not the please, like, give me a break. People are going to go to the bathroom. People are going to go to lunch. Guess what? People are going to go on vacation. If yeah. you only have one person who can present a treatment plan, are you not scheduling treatment for the 2 weeks that they're on vacation or when they have COVID or when things happen? So we people definitely have that. Or on leave. Yeah.
People are going to have babies.
Yeah.
People are going to quit. People are going to move out of the area. And we talked about this earlier, even one of our meetings too, is that it's not when one of those things will happen. No. They will happen.
No, it's not if, it's when.
Not if, it's when. Excuse me. It's not if, it's when. You're right. Yeah, sorry. And a lot of those things are going to happen kind of all at once. And if you're exactly right. If you're waiting for that one person who holds the keys to the treatment plan, you're kind of sunk.
We know one of our taglines, and we are talking about this with our Level Up program that's coming up on May 30th about our back office training first for 100 system, is we're not waiting for unicorns, we make them. Because if you can't, you will forever be at the mercy of what everyone else is doing in their personal lives. And that's just not a recipe for success for anyone. That was the conversation that Sen is referring to. We just had with our doctor meeting, we had a doctor meeting this morning talking about the things that looking at the bigger picture for them and what they need from a support team standpoint. So,
right.
The other thing that we saw too was we had a huge disconnect. And I know that everyone can relate to this from a back office to front office standpoint. We're very big on cross-training for this reason. There was a huge disconnect between back office and front office. You know, it's a little bit of the war of the world situation. That threshold between the waiting room turns into, this is my job, this is your job, and we don't cross the two together. And we see this time and time again. You know, front office will say, well, the back office assistants are just sitting there next to the doctors looking pretty, you know, in back office. So the front office is just chatting with the patients in the waiting room all the time. They each have their own challenges and their pain points, but understanding how those two really need to talk together and how that looks from a patient perspective. We've all been in medical offices where you walk in the door and you've already told the front desk when you scheduled the appointment the reasons that you're here, right? And then you check in and they ask you the reasons that you're here. And then the assistant brings you back and asks you the reasons that you're here. And then the doctor comes in and you get to repeat it for a fourth time, all the reasons that you're here. Like, do you people talk to each other ever? So we really needed to bridge that gap in communication and from an efficiency standpoint on our side of things too.
Yeah. And I think that we'll get into this point a little bit later, but it's a system, and it's a system that has a series of handoffs, whether it's from marketing to the patient phone call to the scheduling, or whether we're just talking about the flow and the handoffs within the office when the patient walks in, which is what we're talking about today primarily. But if those handoffs are smooth and they look smooth, the patient's impressed a lot of times, right? And I think that and not only is the patient impressed, but the team feels like they have a system that they can fall back on, and they know how to, where certain people are going to support them, how they can support other people. Because everyone's team, everyone on our team, we always talk about, is their job is to make their other team members' job easier, right? And so, for example, a back office person, is their job to make sure that the exam goes really well for the doctor, right? Setting them up, asking them, prompting them with questions, reminding them of certain things, making sure that appointment is set up and then goes smooth. That doctor's job is to explain things really, really well in a very systematic, clear way, so that the treatment presenter comes in and isn't trying to tell the patient what problems they have. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but I think that's such an important point. But that's that connection when the front office and back office and the doctor are working so closely together, and they have a system that's kind of interlinked. It really gives people an appreciation of other people's roles.
It's something that we talk about all the time on our team, that not any one person is more important than someone else. Right. And on the one hand, you know, yes, the doctors are at the top of the hierarchy to some extent. You know, they have earned the respect, you know, and they deserve such respect. But at the same time, if the sterilization tech, who is an entry-level position, isn't sterilizing instruments for them, they can't do surgery that afternoon. So it doesn't matter how skilled of a clinician you are, if you don't have the support of your team, the whole system breaks down. And so we really focus on making sure that everyone feels as valued, whether they come in with experience, whether they've been with us 10 years or everywhere in between, because we need all of those parts and pieces to work. And the doctors definitely need that for them to have production on the schedule, right? Unless you're just flying solo and doing all of your treatment presentations and scheduling and insurance billing, which, Sen, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm thinking that that's not your idea of a good time as a doctor of things that you should be doing with your nurses.
No one wants me to, no.
So what are we talking about when we're referring to an actual treatment presentation? For us, this is not just printing out a treatment estimate for a patient to take home and for them to say, let us know what you'd like to do with that. It starts from before, honestly, the patient even walks in the door in our practices. It's from the time that they schedule the appointment and every step along the way. And again, every team member that is involved in that process along the way, because that is our patient's perception of their full experience. And I think that's a tough thing sometimes for the doctors to recognize, because, you know, the doctors, of course, you're focused on your exam and you think that that's the only takeaway that they have, when it in fact is not the case.
Yeah. And I want to take a step back a little bit too, because I think, and just to kind of explain, because I'm still actually surprised that this is happening still, because we've been involved in a couple practices or a handful of practices recently where patients weren't giving estimates.
Right.
And we've been there. Everyone's been there. But the problems we saw, and I think we probably should have kind of gone back and kind of explained a little bit, because this is definitely a huge problem that we saw and the reason we kind of developed the system that we did over and over again, but is the fact that we want our patients to know exactly what they're responsible for from a financial standpoint, and exactly what the treatment is they're getting at their next appointment, the series of it, what to expect, all these different things. Because I think a fear a little bit, and this was definitely the case with myself, you know, in the younger years, was you almost had this mentality that if I explained more, explained how much it was going to cost or what I was doing, there was a sense that the patient would not want to move forward.
Right.
And it's a little bit, when you think about that reason, it's a little bit unethical. Like, are we trying to pull the wool over their eyes? And I know we know no one was trying to do that, But we were trying to move the patient forward to the treatment that they needed in a very, you know, in a good way. That's what main part of our job is. But patients need to know exactly what it is, because we had way more problems. And from a doctor standpoint, I hate to say it, but a lot of us kind of think, well, let's just get the job done. Front office will deal with the billing. And if they're upset about the billing later, right? You know, that's up there. That's not back where I'm doing my job. You guys do your part, I'll do my part, right?
Right.
That doesn't work, you know, or that only works for a little bit, right? And so, and then to the second level is actually not even understanding what the estimate was, just treatment planning, waiting for insurance payments to come in, and then collecting the balance. And that was such a huge issue for us, a problem, you know, because patients had no idea, then we were billing things two or three times. But that was a big, big part of kind of this whole you know, plan that we kind of came up with. So I know there's a little bit of a moving backwards, but I wanted to make sure that was clear and kind of why we came up with this and why we're giving estimates in the first place.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about this. If you missed our Toolbox Tuesday last week on financial policies and establishing those, we have all of that posted for a replay. So if you missed it, you can go back there too, to really, you know, help kind of understand that, yeah, finances are uncomfortable, but this is a business, right? You guys are not, you didn't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars and years in an education to not make money in your career, right? That's not saying that we're over treatment planning, but there's overhead expenses that go with running a business, and you have to collect on the treatment that you're providing to people. It's just, you know, plain and simple as that. And I think that patients appreciate, yes, you're going to have the patients who can't afford the treatment that you're recommending. That happens all the time, right? We have a patient who comes in and they want an all in X, but their budget is for a standard removable denture. I want a Maserati, but that's not in my budget. You know, that doesn't mean that there aren't options available. You know, the Honda Civic can still get you to point A to point B, but giving people the option and discussing it with that, they respect us all much more by putting it out there than trying to dance around the issue that isn't helping anybody, because you have to meet the reality at some point in time. You know, Best Buy has the $5,000 plasma TV as soon as you walk in the door. They're not apologizing for the fact that there's a $5,000 TV on the showroom, and no one ever died from not having the plasma TV. Let's, you know, be realistic here. You know, that is what the cost is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that gets back to, and this is a much bigger topic that we're going to go over a lot in future webinars, but is having the confidence to know that you're worth the cost from a doctor standpoint and from a team standpoint. Right. And I think a lot, this is also an issue where team members are presenting treatment plans, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $60,000 sometimes on a regular basis in our office, that is so outside those people's budget,
right,
that they have so much anxiety presenting these fees,
right?
It comes off to the patient, and it comes off to the patient as a little bit of, this is too much money.
Right.
And it's such a big problem. And I think giving the team members the tools and the confidence to present a $50,000 treatment plan and be comfortable with it and be confident that that's the best place that patient should spend their money, because they want it. The doctor's the best. The team is the best. They're going to get the best results, is really, really a big shift in everything we can do. And it does not come naturally, and it does not come without practice, and it does not come without consistent calibration with the whole team. So.
And I think acknowledging that, you know, I mean, I tell our team all the time, and I'm dead serious about it, I present a treatment plan, whether it's $5 or $50,000, exactly the same way, right? And every single time I do it the exact same way. And it's not always a comfortable thing. And yes, that might be outside of your own individual budget, but we go back to, if we are not giving someone a treatment plan because we are diagnosing their pocketbook, we are not doing our job. We just did that patient a disservice. And you've all seen it in practices. You know, the person who you think is not going to have a financial issue is the one that screams about a balance for fluoride, who did just drive in and has a Maserati sitting in the parking lot, right? You have someone who comes in that you're worried that they don't have a home to go back to, and they throw down $40,000 for a treatment plan without blinking an eye at it. So that part of it is not our job. Our job is to make sure we're giving people the options and the treatment that they need. And yeah, getting your team behind it to understand the treatment. And this gets back to communication, right? There shouldn't be a barrier between doctors and front office. This is something that we've struggled with too over the years, and that we've, you know, had to really break down those communication barriers. Our front office now, if they have a question about a treatment plan or what they're seeing on an intraoral or photos or x-rays, they go and ask our doctors, hey, why did you recommend the treatment that you did, so that I can understand it, so I can answer some of those questions when they come up with patients when I'm doing a treatment presentation. This gets back to calibrating our message. We want to make sure that our front office can convey the same message that our doctors are conveying. Sometimes it takes, they say, you know, from a psychology standpoint, it takes patients three times to hear something before it actually sinks in. So if the doctor can say the same thing, and the back office can say the same thing, and the front office can say the same thing and reiterate that message, we have a much better chance of it sinking in for that patient.
Yeah. And if your dental assistant or your front office or your treatment presenter doesn't understand the treatment that you recommended to that patient, and these are people that work in a dental office day in, day out, your patient definitely does not understand it. And that's a point I think it's really, really important, is that our explanations and our, the way we're showing patients, we're not showing patients complicated CTs or complicated x-rays or different things like that. It needs to be presented in a way that makes a patient feel comfortable and understand exactly why they need something in a very concise and direct way.
Yeah. And we've talked with our doctors a lot about this, because, you know, our doctors are passionate about dentistry, right? You guys get very excited about all of the science.
Yeah, absolutely. We love talking shop. Yeah.
You love all of the toys and whatnot. We really encourage our doctors. We use Slack for communication. We have separate channels about this, and we help our private clients set this up as well. But we really encourage our doctors to keep those conversations amongst the doctors and not patient facing, because the reality is number one, it goes over most of your patients' heads, unless you have engineers, which we do. Sometimes they get very excited about, you know, all of the nitty gritty, but otherwise it makes you sound like a jerk. It's who are we impressing here if we're just trying to ramble off all of the techno babble that doesn't have anything to do with what the ultimate goal is, and that is for the patients to understand the treatment they need so that they schedule the treatment that they need. They don't need the rest of the nitty gritty. So we limit how much we go down that rabbit hole. And sometimes, you know, the doctors need a little kick in the shin under the table every once in a while to stop. Just stop yourself.
Which is exactly why we would prompt us to make our What the F is a Distal module.
That's right.
And we'll get into that later. But anyway.
One of my favorite keys to success module. One of the things we do with, and again, we have an entirely separate module on exams in and of themselves, but we record our exams, because doctors can go down a rabbit hole and they don't realize. It's one of my favorite things, right? We've gone through different phases. We've had assistants who have timed doctors sometimes, and they give them a timestamp of their appointment. The exams are a really big eye opener, because they'll come to me and they'll say, that exam did not take me 40 minutes. The timer doesn't lie on your audio recording. It's right there. You sure did. It sure did. You just had a good old time with yourself in there. No one needs to hear you talk for 40 minutes. That in and of itself has been a game changer for us. And we'll, again, get into, you know, some of the logistics and how we utilize that. But the facts do not lie on recordings. Yeah,
they don't lie. But it's a big part about how that the doctor portion of that system can really throw the whole thing off rails too. And if the doctor is not calibrated to do what the front office and the treatment presenter and the back office and everyone needs them to do, there's no way anyone can be successful with the treatment plan. And if anyone schedules after a 40-minute exam, it's a fluke. In my opinion. And there's certain things, and there might be diving into bigger issues and things like that. And yes, there are outlier situations, but for the most part, it's going to be a fluke. It's going to be a fluke. Yeah.
Well, and it helps safeguard against, you know, we were finding this time and time again with doctors, and this again ties into our financial policies, where every situation was becoming an outlier situation. And as doctors, you want your patients to like you. You know, our doctors wanted our patients to like them. Of course, you know, it's your reputation, and we're worried about bad reviews and, you know, all of those things that come with it. You know, still every time I receive an email for our practices that you have a new review, I'm just, please let it be a 5-star review. You know, we've had situations that come up like everyone else. You have someone that goes on the Karens of the world that go on the Yelp rant, but doctors that were just worried about patients liking them and using our front office as the fall people to break it to the patient, not only what treatment that they needed, but how much of it is the cost. That was not a key success for us at all. And those turned into, you know, we talked about a couple of webinars back about conversations versus confrontations. That, of course, is going to turn into a confrontation with the patient. Yeah. Now they're embarrassed. They weren't prepared for it. And it's going to cost them extra money. And you just threw your front office under the bus. That is not a recipe for success.
Yeah. So, I mean, the team aspect of the whole treatment presentation is a point that we can't make enough. Because it's something that really changed the game for us, and definitely has for our clients. And it's really is huge. So, walk me through a little bit of an example, Jennifer, with some of the scripting that, let's start with maybe kind of our, we're really focusing on kind of the treatment presenter in this webinar, I think, right now. And so, the assistant kind of brings in, back the patient, they have a system, they have their sound offs, the doctor goes through their exam, hopefully it's about 5 minutes. Everything is, showing examples. We're showing them very obvious pictures. We're letting the facts be the hitman, a la John Coyce, which is definitely something we talk a ton about in our practice, is not explaining something, but showing something, explaining an example. Dr. Watts out, we have a system for how that's communicated from the back office to the treatment presenter. Take it away, treatment presenter. And so what are some of the things that have really worked out well as far as sound bites, as far as systems, different things we're calibrating as far as where they sit, all those different things?
It really came down to simplifying it. And, it gets down to efficiency, just like we're talking about with exams. For anyone who's presenting a treatment plan, and in our practices, we cross-train both back office and front office to do this. So if front office happens to be tied up, and this goes in our communication system, they'll say to the assistant, can you present, the treatment plan for XYZ patient, and training them to do that. This is part of our key to success module that we also have to make sure that everyone knows those talking points and can talk about finances. And then it's coming into the room. We sit down with the patient side by side with them, showing them the treatment estimate that we have for them. We're doing this with them. We've spent a lot of time looking at, and this goes into our doctor exam as well, but looking into body language and how much that has an impact on patient perception, their response to things. So we're sitting with them. We're doing this alongside them. We're not talking down to them. We're not talking at them. We're doing this alongside them. It's highlighting the benefits of things. Our front office, with getting back to some of the financial concerns, would get into the spiral of almost apologizing. They would kind of go into the room like afraid that, I'm sorry. Did you break their teeth? But, we talk about that. Are you the Sandman at night? Are you dropping sugar in their mouth while they're sleeping? You didn't do this to them. Okay. So we are here to help them. We're here to help heal them. It is not your fault that they need 10 crowns, right? So we need to take that part out of it. You don't know what their financial status is. Patients walk in the door most of the time, not expecting things for free, right? They made an appointment. They know that it costs money to receive dental care. So it's highlighting the good. It's not highlighting the bad. We're not apologizing. It's not insurance only covers for XYZ. That can also get into patient perception that, well, if insurance doesn't cover for it, that must mean that I don't need it, right? Which is not what we're saying. We all know dental insurance is a business in and of itself that has not updated since the 70s when dental insurance first came out. So we're not going to get into that. We're highlighting the good. We narrow down options for patients as far as scheduling is concerned. We talk about this again with our Keys to Success course and building a schedule that is productive. If you give patients every option under the sun, they go into analysis paralysis and don't know where to start. So limit it down, give them a couple of options for scheduling. We have financial options available if someone wants to look at financing, but we wait for them to come back and ask questions about that. Again, we're not throwing out every financing option under the sun when they may not need financing. And so we just wasted all of that time giving them a solution to a problem that they didn't have. Our time for doing a treatment presentation, including scheduling, is 2 minutes or less. That's our goal. We have it laid out. They have the sheet in front of them. They receive an email copy when they're leaving the office with a copy of the receipt for that day so that it's fresh in their mind, and we're done. Right? No one wants to hear from us the next day. Let me look up your insurance benefits. I'll follow up with you after. They don't want that. They want to put us back away in their brain as do we. We don't want to have to follow up afterwards. It's much more efficient to do it right at that time.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge point too, because we've chosen, because we've seen the bad and we've seen just the terrible and the ugly too, is yes, we talk a lot about efficiency, but if we can get the same job or better results done, whether it's an exam, treatment presentation, a crown, a root canal, anything, if we can get the same job done with the same results or better results in half or less amount of time, categorically, that means we're better. Right. And it's kind of the analogy between, you know, a pilot of a Cessna and a pilot of an F-15, right? You know, just because the Cessna pilot goes slower does not mean he's better. And quite the opposite, right? And so I think that's, we've really, really focused on trying to impress our patients with our efficiency.
And what does that look like from a patient, you know, perspective? If, again, we always talk about putting ourselves in the chair, which we do when we're doing these treatment presentation training sessions, we'll be the patient in the chair. You don't want me to be the patient in the chair because I'm going to be the one that comes up with everything under the sun, right? We have to temper that sometimes for our new hires of like, don't be that patient. Just don't go off the deep end. But, you know, if you're sitting in, and we've all been in offices like this, right? We do our treatment presentations in the op because we want to make sure that it's private for patients. You don't want to be at the front desk talking about your 15 cavities that you have while there's other patients waiting in the waiting room and you're trying to be hushed about it. And now you have to talk about financing. Nobody wants that, right? But you also don't want to be in an op where the assistant says that front office is going to be in. And then front office comes in and, well, now I have a question for the doctor and I have to go run down the hall. And now you're chasing a doctor. And, well, let me find out about the scheduling for that. Let me find out about the finances. Well, the doctor's now in a procedure, so I'm going to have to wait until he comes out. We literally have had those three ring circuses going on in our practices. Does that instill confidence that you do crowns every single day and you actually know what's happening here? If it's that big of a deal and it's an out of the ordinary thing just to schedule this one appointment, that's what a patient walks away with.
Yeah. And I mean, we've gone full circle on kind of where and how we do this, but the efficiency thing and doing the exam and the treatment presentation in the same room, we found that made patients feel a lot more comfortable. And we've all heard, you know, how you design your office and you have, you know, different, you know, business office rooms and a treatment presentation room and things like that. And I understand the theory and how we do that. And, you know, in specialty and ortho and things like that, that might be a little bit of a different plan, but we really found that the patient was much more comfortable in the room that they were in, having someone come to them versus, okay, now I did my treatment, I did my exam, I talked to the doctor, and now I'm going to this whole separate room. I'm talking to a whole nother person that's got a computer clicking around. It's almost like you're at the front desk of an airline, you know, trying to buy a ticket, right? You have no idea what's going on. And we just didn't feel like that was a very comfortable place for patients. And we saw the results that were not what we wanted to. And the minute we started presenting in the room, it was much more efficient, which obviously is a huge priority of ours and our patients. And we saw better results. You know, it's 2024. We can bring a laptop. We can bring an iPad in there. Right. We have no paper. We're not giving patients a clipboard. We can bring that laptop anywhere. We can do the presentation in our car in the parking lot if we wanted to, right. You know, and I think that is something that if we can show that we can use technology, we can use efficiency, we can have a system of how we kind of move people in and out of the office and they're getting everything done in that room. They're obviously getting the panel and things like that done in one room, and then they have another treatment room. But it really looks impressive, as we found, and we knew it looked impressive, and then we heard it from our patients too, is that was really efficient. I did get the impression that if you're recommending, like Jennifer said, a couple crowns, they know what they're doing. They've done this a million times today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, you know, if they have to call someone, sometimes there's somebody else that's involved in financing or a spouse or, you know, that kind of thing. They can call right in the op. You know, we can put someone on speakerphone if we need to, or if there's, you know, college kids that have parents that are responsible for their account, it can all be done then. And it also has our back office. If they happen to be the one presenting the treatment plan, they're invested in making sure they have everything accurate, because they want that patient out of the op so that they can set up the op for the next one, right? We're like, we got to go here. You know, there's a limit to all of these things. So again, it just really helped our team be cohesive from front to back. And it's not just any one person's XYZ responsibility. And, you know, to Sten's point that he made earlier, if a doctor is walking out of the room and your assistant has no idea what the next step is for that patient also has no idea what the next step is for them. So, you know, back to communication, our doctors a lot of time will say to our assistants, say it back to me to make sure that they're clear. No doctor wants your assistant running after you down the hall, slipping a post-it note under the door when you're going to the bathroom because they didn't understand what you were saying in the op. But when a doctor leaves an op in our practices, they are done with that patient. We want it to be a men in black moment so that you can focus on your next patient as it should be. And then that next patient has 100% of your time and attention.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really starts with saying more with less. Because the more we say, the more impactful our words are, the fewer and more impactful they are, the clearer they are to the patient and the more they understand it. And then when we start rambling on about reasons and etiologies and I can use, you know, this type of porcelain or that type of porcelain, or maybe we can use one implant versus two implants or a bridge, or maybe an all in X or maybe a locator, they have no idea what we're talking about. Right. And so it really confuses patients a lot. And if we can focus that, make it efficient enough that a 60-day DA who's never worked in the dental industry can understand, that means the patient understands, and that's related to the treatment presenter, and everyone is on the same page. Using the same terminology is also a big one too. We found sometimes when doctor was saying fracture, DA was saying crack, front office was saying
broken, yeah.
something else. Yeah. They thought they were different issues, right? You know, one person saying decay, one person saying cavity, one person saying lesion. Patients don't know which way is up, right? Well, what do I have, right? It just creates this, it's sometimes silly little things that we talk about, but they create such a sticking point. They create so much friction to that those little tweaks are what can make big changes in your acceptance rate and getting patients to move forward and feel comfortable moving forward too.
Well, and like everything else, we had objections, right? There's always an objection to something. And the financial part of it was a big one, especially for back office. And it's just talking about how to make them comfortable with that. Because if we're trying to, well, what if ourselves all to live one day, right? We talk about getting the outliers down to, okay, ultimately, what are they asking for? They're asking to know what to expect from a financial standpoint at their next visit. Insurance estimates are always an estimate. They are an estimate if you go to the hospital. There is no guarantee of payment for anyone. We talked about in the financial policies webinar last week about pre-authorizations. We do not do pre-authorizations in our practices, and it's not because we don't want to. It's because we have found time and time again that an insurance will send us a pre-authorization that is not a guarantee of payment. It is still just an estimate that we could have pulled up ourselves online. A patient then goes into that treatment expecting so much in benefits that insurance comes back and denies, even though they pre-approved it the time before. So it's really, again, being confident in what it is that we're doing. This is an estimate. We have great financial options for you. And that a patient walks out the door with the last message we want to leave them with. And it is that they have a crack in that upper right-hand tooth that we're going to take care of for them next time. It's not how much it's going to cost. Yes, they know that. But it's not just that. And it's not, oh, this next appointment is going to take 2 hours of my life. It's no, they're going to help me with that crack in that tooth. And not just that I need a crown or I need a filling or no, I have a crack, I have decay. That is what they're going to solve for me next time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know this is a little bit of a shift in kind of maybe what we're taught or maybe what a lot of people think, but I truly believe, and we talk about this a lot with our team, it's a little bit of a theme and a common understanding in dentistry that our job is to present obviously the facts and then all the options to patients as if they're qualified to pick which option they want. Like they're at the ice cream store. That's a lazy way of doing things in my opinion. And if us as a team, if we're giving people, hey, you have a giant crack, what do you want to do? Do you want to do a root canal? Do you want to do a crown? Do you want to just let it go? Do you want to do an IRM filling? What we're really asking for people is how much money they don't want to spend. Right. It's a lazy way of asking people how much money they want to spend, right? And I think this is generally done, you know, with younger dentists, but I've seen it a lot with seasoned dentists too. And I really do believe that our job as dentists and dentist professionals and team members is to present things in a way and present financial options, present the need and all these things in a way that makes people comfortable and motivated to move forward with the treatment that they need. Doing the crown is such a minor part of our job. Doing the root canal is such a minor part of our job. It's going to be done by a robot, whenever, I don't know. But our talking to people, communicating with people is the most important thing we do. And, you know, putting those things in perspective for patients that makes them feel comfortable with you as a dentist and your team as the team that can provide that service, and knowing what they need and why they need it and the benefits of doing it and the risks of not doing it in a way that makes them move forward and come to their appointment next to get that needed treatment done is the best thing we can do for our patients. Because if they don't, they might not get the treatment done. And we all know that how bad that can happen for patients, how much pain and suffering and actually added cost later down the line that can bring.
100%. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all talk that we're here to help our patients. And that also means helping them understand the treatment that they need. It's not just telling them what it is that we want to hear. And, you know, Sten says it to our doctors all the time. We want to treat our patients the same way we would want to be treated ourselves. We want the treatment recommendations for ourselves. We want for our family members. We need to treat patients the exact same way. And even amongst your team members, you know, are your team members patients in your practices? Ours are. And they're not patients in our practices because they get free dentistry. Our patients and our team members are treated the same as any other patient. You know, they have insurance plans, they pay co-pays or interoffice plan. They're patients because they choose to be. And that speaks a lot for the confidence that they have in our doctors. And they can speak firsthand to the experiences that they have as a patient in the chair in the practices.
Yeah. Yeah. And we want them to refer their family members. We want them to refer their friends. And then we see it all the time. And it's a huge vote of confidence. And we love it. But we don't take it lightly. And we don't take it for granted. Yeah.
And it's something that, just like everything else, you have to keep working on. You know, just because you have it today doesn't mean you'll have it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we are getting to the end of the time here. We know that this is lunch hour for a lot of people, so we want to make sure we're respecting that time. Next week is going to be a little bit different from a Toolbox Tuesday standpoint because we are going to be doing a preview of our Level Up program that is our training platform for our back office first 400. We'll give you a little bit of insight into that. Registration is open. That starts on May 30th. So if you haven't heard about that yet, we have many posts about that. We'll be talking about that next Tuesday, but we hope that you'll join us, and we'll see you next week. All right. Bye, everybody.
Have a great day. Bye.